Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Last hour of Gwen and Chris this week. We take you guys into the weekend. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. And I say his name with some conviction in this segment because this segment is dedicated to him. We have, over time, been able to accumulate a whole bunch of different sound bites. And at some point, it became an actual segment idea, and we call it the Scroobies. And for those who don't know what a Scrooby is, well, pretty much, if you listen to our show Monday through Friday, you get a dose of it. Sometimes you don't even realize it. But it's the mess-ups that Matt Scraby has throughout the weeks. Now, last week, unfortunately, because we didn't have a show Friday, we weren't able to do the Scroobies. However, no Scroobies last week's means 2 weeks' worth of Scroobies this week. Let's get into the Scroobies.
Gwen and Chris are glitzed and glamoured for tonight's prestigious event. The award show so good, it's bad.
I'll never let go. I'll never let go, Jack.
The Scroobies starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, guys.
We're back.
Here we are. I know. We got five today. We got five.
Yes, indeed.
Fortunately, I lost all the Scroobies that I had from the previous weeks. So,
oh, and you built up five this week.
In the 3 days that I've been here, I have built up five, which is pretty impressive, actually.
That's very impressive.
It's very impressive.
Do we still have the defending champion?
We still do. I backed that up a few weeks ago.
Good.
The defending champ, I believe, is like at least a month running. If not more, maybe 5 weeks at this point. But it was when I talked about the Ice Cube.
Chris versus the fans to get to. What do we got for a prize today, Scrape?
We have that super sweet movie, The High Note with the Ice Cube.
Oh, the digital copy.
The Ice Cube? Is that his
ice
name now?
Yeah, it's
the Ice Cube.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to find it. Congratulations! You've won a digital copy of the new Ice Cube movie, The High Note, available now in a premium video on-demand format.
Featuring the Ice Cube as well.
The Ice Cube.
I am one of the most uncool people I know, but even I know that the guy's name is
Did I really say the Ice Cube?
I got to tell you, you know, that whole thing goes sideways when I come to you for with the prizes. Because clearly,
I have no idea.
Quite,
I have no idea.
You said we have that super sweet prize.
As I'm clicking furiously, trying to find the prize, trying to stall.
I think that's where the Ice Cube came from.
You didn't even know you said it. Yeah, you didn't know you even said it.
Yeah, I didn't know I said that.
Fortunately, I was on top of the situation.
You were. You definitely were on top of the situation. Well, that is
we got the super sweet prize.
click. So what this is kind of what we do each week is we could either it's like not top 10 for the sports for the Sports Center. What am I trying to say? Uh-huh. It's like not top 10 for Sports Center where a clip could be the reigning champion for 2 months.
This music in the background is just
yeah,
perfect
I don't,
for you right now.
it's a whole Hollywood feel, okay? Let's start with this one. I choked on my tongue yesterday. Do you guys remember
Ouch.
This? Yeah. It doesn't sound as bad on the air as it did to us, but it's still pretty funny. So here is from yesterday. There's been a lot. Excuse me.
There's been a lot.
Who was that?
That was Kermit the Frog, apparently. I don't know what happened. I swallowed my tongue as I went to go speak there.
There's been a lot.
Excuse me.
There's been a lot.
Who was that?
Who was that? Who's talking about you?
That's you.
All right. So there's that one. Number two, someone submitted this. They said it shouldn't just be screw-ups. It should also be my bad takes, which was kind of hurtful.
Okay. But I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yesterday, I was very excited for the Spider-Man uniforms that the Cleveland Spiders are going to have. And so this is our conversation about that. People on Twitter were suggesting the Cleveland team should go back to being the Spiders. The Cleveland Spiders.
I saw you mention that. Yes. The Spiders, that was the only
And they did mock-ups of the uniform, of the Spider uniform.
I know.
The Spiders originally didn't look like Spider-Man.
No. But that's awesome.
No, it wouldn't be.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be a little too much, Tony.
That's way too much. Have you seen the rest of the uniforms in Major League Baseball? All of a sudden, you're going to whip out a Spider-Man jersey?
Dude, like, that would be great.
All red uniforms with blue
trim?
No. I don't think
so. And you'd have to wear tights as baseball fans.
I'm in.
He said, I'm in.
I'm in. I am in on some
Spider-Man
uniforms.
You left out the visual of Fran Mil Reyes in a Spider-Man.
That I did. We did talk about that a little bit later. So that is number two. Number three is something I do quite often, which is make a bad joke. University of San Francisco had the best food. Transfer 15, more like transfer 52.
Ba-doom-tsh.
All right, bad jokes are back. Okay, I'm just going all over the place. I'm just going to stop hitting buttons. All right, to the question, Tony. You've already kind of answered. There we go.
You know, one of the things you often do, and it never fails, actually, is you laugh at your own jokes. You just played it.
Transfer 15, more like transfer 52.
Is there any way that I can get an explanation of what that was supposed to mean? Because I'm trying to figure it out too.
You know how they say like freshman 15, like you gain 15 pounds when you become a freshman in college because you're.
You said transfer 15.
Because I'm a transfer into USF. I wasn't a freshman at USF when I ate the food there.
But it only applies to freshmen. Okay. No, freshman 15. Yeah.
But the transfer 15 can happen too. They call it the COVID 15.
This is a terrible take, by the way.
This is so pathetic. And now that you're trying to explain it, it's even worse. So you were trying to joke that when you transferred to USF, the food was so good, you didn't gain just 15 pounds. Yeah. You gained 52 pounds.
Correct. Transfer 15, more like transfer 52. You're breaking the microphone, Chris. I've never heard him like this before.
I got it. Oh, that is good. Man, how did we miss that the first time, Tony?
I hate you. All right, number four is going to be me playing the wrong Bryson DeChambeau clip on Wednesday. I had to fast forward the middle of his clip because we let it play for like a good 9 seconds when he was talking about nothing. So this is that sequence.
Wait, before you play it, I think you need to set this up. You were thinking it was going to say something completely different than he said, right?
I did. I thought he was going to talk about how he approached the cameraman and yelled at him for filming his bad shots, but he didn't say that at all. He actually talked about a bug, and this was in the first
Where
maybe.
Where did you get this sound back from, by the way?
I was desperate for any sound at the time. I was desperate for any Bryson DeChambeau sound, and this happened within the first 10 minutes of me coming back from vacation. But here's what he had to say after the round.
That's this bug. Well, first off, I got this bug in my face. Sorry. That was fun.
Okay, this is not what it says it is. So,
sounded like he's a very normal, regular guy.
This is not helping make my case. He's very happy in this one.
Way to go, Scravy. You can't even. I'm giving you the ability to back up your case by playing whatever sound you want, and you still continue to make my case for me.
All right. Yep, that's true. I did.
That is actually That's probably the definition of a Scrooby right there.
Yeah, trying to make your case with that on
you. You're given an opportunity to hit a home run. You got the sound. All you got to do is play it. And you play a sound that has literally nothing to do with your point at all.
Yeah.
That's a mistake and a bad take all wrapped into one.
It's not a bad take, but it's a mistake for sure. Right. For sure. Last one for this round
of
these
good Scroobies. Candidates this week, I must say.
I labeled this way. References self in third person while stalling. That's what I labeled it as. So here's we go.
97.3 to Fan. Let's get to Chris versus the Fan.
Ooh, and Scraby is not doing good.
Scraby was on his phone getting ready to start texting.
No,
bam.
I was checking something. I was checking the weather.
Still waiting. Here
yes, we are.
Chris versus the Fan right now.
If you had one shot.
So there's that one. I referenced myself trying to stall in the third person. So those are the top five. Recap. I choked on my tongue. I was excited about the Spider-Man uniforms. I made a bad joke. I played the wrong Bryson DeChambeau clip, and I referenced myself in the third person while stalling. So the winner still is the Ice Cube. Do we have any candidates this week, guys, that are going to challenge the Ice Cube?
I'll tell you, my personal faves this week are choking and
choking,
saying a really, really dumb joke. I mean, like, really dumb.
Yeah. Those would be my two
favorites. Those are your two candidates? Or,
those are my two favorites.
Do you guys want to? Well, we're running low on time, so do you guys want to? Is either one going to
unseat the champ?
Yeah, the Ice Cube.
It's got to be like a really heavy vote in favor of unseating the Ice Cube, and I can't go that
can't
strong.
Give it,
but
yeah,
you
I can't.
Can't.
I can't dethrone the Ice Cube.
Super sweet movie. The High Note with the Ice Cube. So, this is now a 6-week champion, the Ice Cube.
All right. Well, coming around the mountain.
You got a lot of Scroobies. Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of Scroobies, but the coming around the mountain and the Ice Cube still sit at the top.
Right.
These ones are a little underneath.
All right.
I might have felt a little better about the choked one if you didn't really actually injure yourself.
I didn't. I mean, I did, but I didn't.
It sounded kind of like you did.
That
all right, there's
factual.
Another edition of the Scroobies. There you go.
All right. Let's get to break. And Chris Ello is up next because we have Chris's Fantabulous Game Show on the way. Stay tuned. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's a look at traffic with Kelly Dannett.
Eighteen minutes after the hour, 6:18. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Coming to the close of another week together here on Gwynn and Chris. The time has come for Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. By the way, if you're working from home, you can stream 97.3 The Fan on your home computer by going to 97.3thefansd.com. Click on the Listen Live button. We're here for you, San Diego. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Chris's Fantabulous Game Show, which I believe Scraby's won a couple. Tony's won one or two.
I believe one.
One? Scraby.
I believe one.
I had a feeling he would have a retort to that. Chris's Fantabulous Game Show works this way. There are 9 correct answers. And the two contestants, in this case Scraby and Tony, have to give a correct answer, or they get a strike. First person to either 5 correct answers wins, or first person to 3 strikes loses. You'll understand going along.
I don't think that's ever happened before, right?
No, we usually play it out to the 5. We don't mess around with the 3 strikes very often, but that could come into play today. We'll see.
Ooh.
But you need the category before we can get started, and here it is. Earlier this week, ESPN.com's experts ranked the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. And at the top of the list, number 1 was Patrick Mahomes. So do not answer that. Your job is to name the guys who finished 2 through 10 on ESPN's expert list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Man, I really wish I would have clicked on this article.
Glad you didn't, because it wouldn't have been quite as fun. So here we go. Tony won last time, so Tony gets to go first. Tony, name a quarterback that is in the top 10, according to ESPN's quarterback experts right now.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, number 6 on the list.
Number 6?
Yes, number 6. But that's still a point for Tony. He is correct.
Oh, wait,
my point. I didn't hear it.
Get a little bell there. Thank you.
I should move this over.
All right,
here.
Mr. Scraby, you're up. Name a quarterback who's on the top 10 list.
I am going to say Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is number 2, right behind Patrick Mahomes. So we are tied 1-1. It's a little more difficult as we go along, but I think you guys should still be in pretty good shape. Tony, give me a quarterback who's in the top 10.
I mean, Tom's got to be on there.
Tom
Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Oh,
yes. Tom Brady. Number 7, believe it or not. But he is on the list. He did make it. Scraby, you're up. We've got Mahomes with number 1. And we've named 2, 6, and 7. So there are still 6 more correct answers left. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not going to say my guy. I don't think he's on the list.
Yeah, you'd be giving me help. Actually,
I would.
Guess him, please.
No, I won't.
You don't have faith that your guy's in the top 10?
Media hates him.
With a name like Jimmy Jesus, he should be in the top 10.
Jesus, geez, he ought to be at the top of every list.
Media bias. I will say
Drew Brees is number 5, so he is on the list. Yes, very good, Scraby. So we are tied 2-2. Things could get a little interesting now. There are 5 correct answers left. You're trying to name ESPN's list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. No strikes. Tony is up in a 2-2 tie.
Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Number 3.
Whoa, I thought he was maybe possibly off the list.
He's on.
You thought wrong, player.
You thought wrong, player. I like that. I'm not making fun of that. I actually liked it, and I thought it would sound good if I got to say it.
It did sound good. Don't let nobody tell you.
Don't worry, you'll hear it again.
3-2. Tony's in the lead. You guys haven't gotten a strike yet. You guys are doing very well. Trying to name the top 10 quarterbacks. Still left on the list are number 4, 8, 9, and 10. So it is going to get a little tougher here, but Scraby, your turn.
I am going to go out on a limb here.
Going to go out on a limb.
I don't know this guy's in the top 10, but...
Don't get hurt.
People like to pick him high up in the list. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Coming off of a fine rookie season with the Arizona Cardinals. Give yourself a buzzer.
Oh! I'm hitting everything over here.
No! You anticipated being a ding and it was a bang.
Oh. Kyler Murray did not make the top 10.
Oh, he should.
List. Well, he didn't.
He should. Well, he didn't.
So Tony continues to lead 3-2, and...
Ooh, I got one now.
The ball goes back to Tony. It's his turn.
How about Deshaun Watson?
He just took it!
Deshaun Watson is number 4, correct.
Why did I say that?
Way up there. Well, we have been in this situation before.
Yes, we have.
Where Tony has led 4-2,
and
Scraby has been on the doorstep of defeat and has managed to come back and pull out a victory.
I have.
Not today.
But in order to do that today,
not today.
He's going to have to name numbers 8, 9, and 10.
I mean, those could be anyone.
That
exactly.
Is really tough. But, Scraby, you do get – it is your turn. So pick a guy that you think finished either 8, 9, or 10 in the ESPN expert list of top quarterbacks in the NFL.
This guy's always on the top of lists. I don't know why he is, because I don't really think he's that great, but Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. I cannot think of a more undeserving member of the top 10. But he is number 9.
All
Dak
right.
Prescott. Correct, Scraby.
Mm.
So, Scraby keeps his hopes alive, but Tony can close it out here. He's got 2 correct answers left, number 8 and number 10. And he's got a 4-3 lead, so he needs one here to wrap it up. Tony, who are you going with? On ESPN's list of top 10 quarterbacks.
I dedicate this one to my guy, Thomas Andrews. We're going to go with Matthew Stafford.
Oh, wow.
Matthew Stafford. Better than Matt Ryan. Better
yes.
than Kirk Cousins.
See?
Better than Jimmy Jesus.
Certainly.
Better than Big Ben Roethlisberger.
He's been hurt.
Better than everybody because he is in the top 10. Mm. Matt Stafford, correct. Well, I can't believe you hit the
right
buzzer. He got it right. And Tony wins the game 5-3. He went 5-5. Matt Stafford was correct. Unbelievably so. Nice job, Tony.
I'll give it to Tony. I was never guessing Matt Stafford in a million years.
I was either going to guess Carson Wentz or Matt Stafford.
I didn't like
Carson Wentz was the other one.
I felt comfortable with both of them.
He was number 11?
No, Carson Wentz was number 8.
Oh, I guess
Stafford
I was mathematically
was 10.
Eliminated. Okay.
Yeah. So Tony would have gotten it either way there.
Where's Jimmy Jesus?
He didn't even make the list.
He didn't make the list of...
They didn't do a top 11 or a 12 or a 13 or a 14.
10. I thought they ranked all the quarterbacks in the league. No,
Jimmy Jesus is 10. In the same category as Tua Tagovailoa.
Pretty much.
Not in the top 10.
Tua Tagovailoa.
That's right. Sorry about that.
What about Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew. Well,
the stash is not ready for the
team. What about Mitchell Trubisky?
Baker Mayfield didn't get a mention.
I didn't even think about him for 1 second.
Josh, what's his name on the Bills? He's getting better.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen didn't get in there.
What about Tannehill? He had a good run.
Tannehill had a good year last year. Did not get on the list. So,
good year does not put you on the top 10.
There you go. I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. I really thought we were going to get some strikes there, but we only got 1 strike out of the whole game. You guys really did well. And Tony went 5-5 to become today's champion of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
Tony's salsaing in the camera right now.
And I don't have my camera's on you right now. I have to wait.
Oh, you have to look at my disgusted
I'll talk
face?
Then, so it'll come back to my face. And then...
Yeah, when it comes back to you, then I want to see you salsa. Scraby's salsaing also.
I am not salsaing.
Salsaing even in defeat. All right, we'll have another Chris's Fantabulous Game Show probably sometime next week. But, guys, a good round again. Well done, well played, and we will take a quick timeout. We have our interview of the week coming up, so stick around for that. You could guess for 1,000 years, and you would never guess who our interview of the week is. The reason I'm saying that is because I can't remember his name either, but it was really, really good. I know that.
I love the honesty of our show. I really do.
Honest show. What can I tell you? The guy was smart. It was a really important topic.
Zach something.
But I couldn't remember his
Dr.
name. He was
Zach
a doctor.
Benny.
Dr. Benny, yes. Dr. Benny was our interview of the week, and you'll see why when we come back. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
6:34 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, taking you into the weekend. Chris, we finally heard from your favorite league.
The National Hockey League has
been heard. The National Hockey League has approved a restart 4-year CBA expansion. So they went ahead and extension. They went ahead and knocked the whole thing out.
Good for them. When are they going to actually play a game?
as it comes up on my computer, it looks like
Training camp for NHL teams will open Monday. The 24-team tournament will begin on August 1st in two hub cities, Edmonton for the Western Conference and Toronto for the Eastern Conference. To maximize number of games televised, start times will be scheduled on a staggered basis within the 10 days of qualifying games in Toronto. Slated to start at noon, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern. The start time for the three-game windows in Edmonton will be 2 p.m., 6:30 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. Eastern. The window for the games in Edmonton might fluctuate by up to 30 minutes during the qualifying round. So they went ahead and knocked out the whole...
I wonder what they're going to do with overtime. The NHL playoffs always have overtime in the... You know, that one of the great things about playoff hockey is that the game can go three or four overtime sometimes, you know, trying, but they wouldn't be, I don't believe they'll be able to do that with three games scheduled in the same venue for the same day. So we'll have to, you'd have to put a guy on second. Yeah. I'm bringing this up because the NHL probably hasn't thought of this yet. You know what I mean?
Like
they're going to get to the first night of the first game, and it's going to go into triple overtime, and it's going to push the schedule back, and the NHL isn't going to be prepared for this. I haven't seen what they're going to do with overtime. But
now, among the most significant components of the new CBA is language that would allow NHL players to return to the Olympics in 2022 and 2026, pending an agreement with the IIHF and the IOC.
That's big.
What do you think about that, Chris?
Well, I think it's good for the NHL when they get to play, those guys get to play in the Olympics, because it exposes the sport more. I mean, a lot of people watch the hockey tournament in the Olympics that don't watch hockey generally. So I think it's good for the NHL to promote its athletes in an Olympic setting and give them the, you know, once the Olympics are over, hopefully some people will come back and go, hey, I saw that guy in the Olympics and watch.
Why do I feel like I've seen some of the guys in the Olympics before?
Because they have had it before. Many years ago, and then they took it out because they're stupid.
they've had three work stoppages under Bettman. You can't rank amongst the top commissioners with three work stoppages on your tenure.
Well, I don't know who ranks him among the top.
I didn't say anybody did, but I'm saying he can't expect to be ranked among the top.
I can't believe he's still the commissioner. I really can't. It's one colossal mess up after another in the NHL. But it looks like I will tune in and watch some Stanley Cup playoff hockey, but it will be interesting to see what they're going to do with overtime. I imagine they'll just have to go to a shootout like they do in the regular season, which will be kind of a really weird way to decide playoff hockey games, because that's really one of the great things about playoff hockey, are those dramatic two and three overtime games that they have sometimes.
One of the other,
not gonna be able to do that.
Yeah, one of the other big components to this collective bargaining agreement is player trades are less restrictive. The new CBA made two common sense changes that will affect player movement after trades. No trade and no movement clauses will now travel with the player who was traded. So you mean to tell me if I had a no trade clause and I got traded, it doesn't travel with me to the next team? That's how that went?
Probably.
they used the example.
If it didn't make sense before, that's probably what they did, yes.
They used the example of the 2016 trade between PK Subban.
Subban,
to the Nashville Predators just 48 hours before his no-trade clause was to kick in. The Predators then declined to honor that clause and was their right under the previous CBA, and he was on the move again 3 years later to New Jersey. That can no longer happen, as no move and no trade clauses are simply part of the package when trading for a player. Wow.
Oh yeah, the NHL. If you ever went through the rules, you'd be really glad you were never a player, because they have no idea what they were doing in that league. But slowly but surely, it's kind of like Scraby. They stumble into a good idea once in a while, and things are hopefully going to improve. I do think the playoffs will be fun, though. We'll see. It's just hockey. I'm rooting for it. Just
wait,
like
you think
I am
it'll be fun,
sport.
Or we'll see?
Well, I think it'll be fun. But I hope everybody's healthy enough to play is what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you. We'll see. I got you.
If they're able to play, then the games will be great. Because, I mean, nobody plays harder than hockey players. I mean, these guys, they lay it out there every single night. And going right into the playoffs, I mean, they're going to play hardcore right off the bat. So I think that'll be fun as long as they stay healthy enough to be able to do it.
Just all this news come down real quick before we get into our interview and traffic. Arizona Cardinals owner Michael Bidwill has tested positive for coronavirus. He is in the hospital. His condition has improved and is expected to be released this weekend. But just wanted to pass that along. The team says it believes a 55-year-old Bidwill caught the virus while traveling and spending time on the East Coast for several weeks. So we wish him nothing but the best in his recovery.
Yes.
Got to stay. Keep your head on the swivel, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real thing going on out here. Let's check some traffic with Kelly Danik.
It's been a busy afternoon. I didn't see one ladder dropped in lane, so that's definitely some good news. But yeah, no incidents or accidents to report at this time, so let's get this weekend started. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Good job, everybody out there driving on this Friday. You have kept Kelly's traffic report pretty clean today. Let's keep it that way over the weekend. You guys make sure you stay safe. All right. We were able to catch up with Dr. Zach Benny earlier this week. He is our interview of the week.
Sports injury writer at footballoutsiders.com. He's an epidemiologist from Emory University in Atlanta, Dr. Zach Benny. He joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline to talk about this coronavirus pandemic and whether or not it is safe to move on with sports. Dr. Benny, how are you today? Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure. On the sliding scale that we're all grading on, I'm great. I hope you, Chris, and Tony as well are doing all right, too.
Sliding scale? Yeah, I'm fantastic on that sliding scale.
Right,
my scale only goes up to 4, though, unfortunately, in this day and age. But, yeah, we're hanging in there doing the best we can. Hey, let's just start straight up. I mean, is it safe enough yet, do you feel, for sports to resume, or is sports just taking a shot in the dark here?
Well, I think when you say sports, it's important to realize that that encompasses a lot of things. So from pro all the way down to high school and youth sports, and from plans like the NBA's to plans like MLB's. Just speaking generally, the situation here in the U.S., we have way more virus than other areas that are trying to bring sports back, like Germany, South Korea, New Zealand, even Spain and Italy, which were two very, very hard-hit areas at the start, have gotten their epidemics largely under control at this point, and that's why their top soccer leagues have been able to come back. So can we come back? If we can bring sports back, it's going to be more difficult, more expensive, more logistically difficult, worse for players and staff, and it's going to be more dangerous and require stricter plans. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Dr. Benny, you mentioned the word sports and all of that it encompasses. You brought up the youth side. Because it seems like that's kind of a complicated portion of this COVID-19. It seems like the adults, listen, if you go out there, you are at risk. There's no doubt about it. Is that the same for the youth sports as well?
Yeah. So, I like to break sports down into the pros, college, and youth and high school. Pros, I think it's easier to come back because you have resources and you have centralized authority. Like what MLB says goes. College is really hard because you don't have centralized authority and a lot of schools don't have resources. And all of these student athletes are trying to exist in a broader student body where the virus can spread. You can't put them in any kind of bubble.
Right.
High school and youth is somewhere in the middle because they don't have the resources, but they can definitely be part of a smaller group, and it can be more localized, and just the fewer people involved can reduce the danger. But I think that broadly in society, we need to talk about low, medium, and high-risk activities, and we need to find more low-risk activities that people can do, but all agree that we need to avoid the high-risk stuff. So when it comes to youth and high school sports, I want people, parents who are thinking about getting their kids back involved, to think about this. Indoors, contact, and lots of people, that's what makes sports more dangerous. Anything that's outdoors, fewer people, or doesn't involve contact helps. So anything you can do to transition towards those sports is great. and we really need to avoid big tournaments, especially indoors, that bring people to one area from around the country. That's incredibly dangerous. Hmm.
Dr. Zach Binney, Emory University sports injury writer for Football Outsiders, joining us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. Dr. Binney, let's go back to the big leagues for just a second. Can they do enough to treat all the athletes that are going to test positive? And when a player does, and I wasn't going to say if a player, but I think it's kind of more apropos to say when a player does test positive once the season resumes, what has to happen before they should be allowed to return?
Yeah, so it's almost certain that a player is going to test positive. We've already seen quite a few testing positive as they go back to spring training. So what needs to happen basically is that player and anybody they've had close contact with need to be quarantined until you can be sure that they are clear of the virus. The person who tests positive, if they're asymptomatic, meaning they're not showing symptoms, they can be isolated for 10 days and then potentially brought back. If they showed symptoms, you want to wait until 3 days after their symptoms stop, and then you can bring them back. So I would guess that most players are probably going to be out between 10 and 20 days, but some are going to be longer because we've seen this disease, even young elite athletes, it can hit and linger for quite a while.
Dr. Binney, you know, some of the reports we've seen, especially out of Texas, was that they were talking about actually having fans attend some of these games that have a chance to take place. That seems mind-boggling to me. Is that something that you can see happening before there's a vaccine?
No, absolutely not. I have always felt very strongly and continue to that fans is an extremely bad idea. And we already see people pushing the envelope with that. I mean, the Indy 500 is talking about trying to run the race in August at 50% capacity with 175,000 people. I do not have words to express what a stupid idea that is in the middle of a pandemic. Every step that we take back towards normality has a risk and a benefit associated with it. And the benefits need to outweigh the risks. So, for example, we never closed grocery stores because there was a risk with going there, but the benefit, getting food, outweighed that. With sports, if you bring them back without fans, I think there's a lot of real arguments for psychological and economic benefits, and if you have the right plan, I think you can keep the risk to a reasonable level. When you start talking about fans, it's just putting money in the pockets of owners and stadium authorities, and you're creating a massive public health threat. The risks and benefits do not line up for me.
Dr. Zach Binney, our guest here, talking about the return of sports, the hopeful return of sports in this country. And obviously we have some golf underway, and that's been, I would say, largely successful. We've had a few positive tests along the way, and you talked about baseball being outdoors and non-contact. So does that mean that, in your mind, if any sport is going to work once we kind of kick this into gear at the end of the month, that probably baseball is the one that's going to have to be successful? Because if baseball's not successful, there's almost no way we can even think about going indoors with basketball and then, my goodness, football later on.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that because golf, you're right, certainly has been relatively successful. They've had a few cases, but you'd have to expect if these golfers and other support staff were just in their daily lives, some of them would have gotten sick as well. So as long as the numbers aren't very big, you would think, okay, the PGA seems to have put together a relatively safe environment. The problem with baseball is that their plan for keeping the disease out and keeping it from spreading is, in my opinion, weaker than the NBA's. Mm. So while basketball is more dangerous because it's played inside and has contact, I think the NBA has done more than enough to close the danger gap with Major League Baseball.
Dr. Binney, one last question for me. You mentioned the kind of tiers in which you classified youth, college, professional. It seems, you know, based on our conversation, that you think that college sports is at a real is at a different risk than the other two.
Yeah, college is difficult because of, you know, you're living on a campus, often in close quarters with a whole lot of people. And you're at an age when, you know, no matter what advice you're given, I don't know if you guys remember what it was like to be in college, but I didn't necessarily listen to every piece of advice I was given. Okay.
Right.
You may be going out to bars, you may be going to parties. It's a very real environment where the disease can spread. And college athletics necessarily has to try and exist in that environment. And that is, I'm afraid, very difficult. And you're already starting to see some dominoes fall. Morehouse, the historically black college here in Atlanta, already canceled its football season. There is a relatively small conference. I'm forgetting the name right now. I think the Colonial, but I'm forgetting the actual name of the conference. But they just canceled their fall sports, and they're expecting the Ivy League to announce the same thing tomorrow. So dominoes are already falling, and unfortunately, because we haven't gotten control of the virus, I expect that might continue.
Dr. Zach Benny, epidemiologist from Emory University in Atlanta, sports injury writer, footballoutsiders.com, nice enough to join us and give us some insight, some truths, basically, on this whole coronavirus pandemic and whether or not it's going to be safe or even feasible to bring professional sports, college sports, youth sports, bring it all back. Doctor, what would you say would... I don't want to drop the word, but what would be the end all that would get us to a point in this country where we'd have to say, you know what, we're just going to have to wait until we get a vaccine, and that's probably not going to be, you know, hopefully sometime early next year. Maybe 2020 is going to have to be a year that we just go without professional sports. Is that something? It's certainly in the back of my mind, and it creeps a little bit more forward every day. So I had to ask about it.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. It's in my mind too. You know, I still think that maybe, for example, the NBA's plan can work if they are able to do better than Major League Soccer has at getting teams into the bubble safely. That's always the most difficult bit, is making sure that you don't have an infection that just happened before a team enters the bubble and then rears its head once you're inside, because then the infections are there and you have a major problem, and you need to hope that they stay on the team that they came in with, which they may or may not. You know, the more cases that we have, the more that we run out of testing and have delays in that, you know, the less able we are to divert those resources to something that we want rather than something that we need. So, you know, the less you're able to divert those resources to major league sports. If you don't have hospitals, how can you treat sports injuries if hospitals in an area are overwhelmed? You know, it's all a worry. The more that we are able to keep the virus under control, and the areas where we've done a better job of that have a better chance of bringing sports back. Just for example, if I were running a youth league, I'd be a lot happier in Massachusetts or New York right now than I would be in Arizona or Texas, because it's going to be easier to come back.
Well, either way, it's not going to be easy to come back, that's for sure. We're all finding that out as we go along. Dr. Zach Binney from Emory University, epidemiologist. I think we pronounced that right every single time. I'm very proud of us.
We didn't mess it up today.
You did. I think you might be the first radio show I've done that actually managed that. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. We worked on it very hard. Sports injury writer at footballoutsiders.com. Thanks for your insight, Dr. Binney. And hopefully we can catch up with you one of these days and talk some sports once we get through all this stuff. And it would be fun having you on again.
For sure. Believe me, I'm looking forward to that as much as you guys. Now, take care and stay safe. And to all your listeners as well, please wear a mask and avoid large indoor gatherings. Thank you.
You got it. Absolutely. We've been passing that message along ourselves. Thank you very much, Dr. Zach Binney, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com.
That will do it for the week. What you got planned for this weekend, Chris?
Well, I'm going to be wearing my mask and not be around a bunch of people inside.
Scraby?
Listening to Dr. Benny.
I am going to sit in my house by myself and do absolutely nothing. I didn't hear that interview because I was gone on Tuesday, but that is a COVID cop's dream right there.
Yes. Well, I was thinking, you were in our thoughts the whole time.
Really?
While he was talking. Yes.
That interview was much earlier in the week, and I think it was a little cloudier at the beginning of the week than the week ended. So let's hope that we can keep a brighter outlook on things as we go along. But when we did that interview with Dr. Benny, it was not looking great.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. That definitely, baseball certainly wasn't looking great at that point. So we've come a little bit of ways, looking a little bit better. Hopefully it continues that way, or at least stays where it's at. We're going to head into the weekend. We will catch up with you guys on Monday. However, I won't be here. Chris and Scraby will be, though.
Woo-hoo!
You guys enjoy your weekend. Have a lovely, lovely night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.